Hi, it's DGAF. And this is season 4 of Sessions. Let's get it this year. Let's save the princess, right? Friday today. Shout out to Ice Cube. Week 20 of 50. Keep going. The session plus scoreboard check, part 2. So I've just come back from dinner on Tuesday, May 11th. And I've come back to the Venetian where I started the session and I played 3 hours and lost $154, despite winning $300 in the high-hand promotion. It was a tumultuous 3 hours, but most of my hours at the poker table are. That's what you're going to get when you play the way I do. And anyways, I had planned on this intermission of going to dinner, and now I'm ready to turn this L into a W and finish off the session strong. Right, and hopefully get my 4th win in a row, because people like when I win. I like when I win. I've learned, even though I haven't had big wins, it just feels good to win all the time. And I won 12 in a row, and then I lost 2 in a row, and one of them was one hand session, and then I've won 3 in a row going into this session for week 20. Right, so let's get it to 4. And I sit down in a game, and it looks like a pretty good game. And the Venetian is still very, very loud, if you recall from part 1. The music's too loud. There's a chance that something's going on with my hearing. More likely, it's just that I haven't got enough sleep. So when I don't get enough sleep, I'm already a sensitive person always. I'm hypersensitive. And it's really bothering me how fucking loud it is in the Venetian poker room. And oh my god, every single drop these days my phone alarm goes off. You know what I'm gonna say, it just tells a story. I'm just very busy person. Yeah, I'm on the grind. I've been on the grind for 4 years, and I feel like I'm on the grind harder now than ever. Because I actually do see some daylight in all ways with this podcast. Even if it has, you know, interruptions like that, it does tell the story. And it's a documentary, right? It's not a polished, produced podcast. No, it's a daily motherfucking podcast. And it just tells a story and provides relatability and all that shit, right? So What am I spewing on about now? I don't know. I'm just, you know, in this game, and I'm flustered, and, you know, dinner was fine, and I've broken my fast, and I'm having some drinks now, but I just am having a hard time focusing. And to start this session, I knew I had too much on my mind, too much personal shit, right? But also, this week's called Keep Going, because I've decided to not let anything stop me anymore. If anyone in my life wants to slow me down, they can't. I mean, they can slow me down, but they can't stop me, right? I'm just going to keep going. And if I just start to feel like shit, I'm just going to keep going. And if I start worrying about shit, I'll keep going. And even on this day when I know I'm not going to be making the best decisions, well, I'm still putting a session in, right? I'm going to play the easiest spot I know in Vegas, which is the Venetian. And it's going to be loud and annoying, but whatever. I know I'm not, I'm at best going to play my B-minus game, I think. And anyways, so I'm at the table, and I can quickly tell who the reason is for the game. And it's just this young guy, and he just seems awesome, and he straddles the button. And a weak older guy limps, and the pill popper limps. She's still playing, right? And she loves to play poker, And she's just a good character in the Venetian poker world. And I have Queen Jack. And I go to 60. I 6x that shit. And, you know, everyone seems weak. And only the reason calls on the button, right? And so the limpers fold and the button straddle defends the 50 more. I just know he's the reason. And he shows his neighbor his cards, right? And I'm seeing this. I'm in the seventh seat, which is the very worst seat. There is, you have plexiglass, like you have to lean to the right to see what's going on the flop. It's just really, it's just a bad design. And anyways, and this guy is in the one seat, right? And he shows the two seat his cards. And the flop comes down, and I have Queen Jack. And we got 140 in there. And this guy has $400 left, give or take, right? The flop comes down, Queen Jack 9. Flop top 2. Hell yeah. But it's all clubs, right? So I'm going to check here one time, and hopefully the turn's not a club, right? So I check, and this guy, when the flop came out, the guy he showed his cards to puts his hand on his head and his head back, like, oh my God, right? And so I don't know what to make of this. Did the guy who witnessed what the reason has put his hand on his head and lean back like, oh my God, like he folded clubs or a big hand, or is he acting for this guy? I don't know, but I checked and the reason goes all in. And I have top two and I'm under-repped, obviously, and I snap call on Queen Jack 9, all clubs, because he just snapped one all in and he has King 10. So he flopped a straight. So his neighbor sweating his hand, seeing the flop and then smacking his forehead and going back in awe. It was just level one that the hand he was sweating flopped a straight. And it's amazing. It tricked me. I don't know. There's a lot going on. And so I snap call with my top two, right? You're just going to. And the board, you know, I didn't pair the board. And I lost, you know, $460 some on the very first hand back from dinner. And I can't hear how much I owe this guy. I know it's 400 and something, but I literally can't hear. It's so loud in there. They play the worst music. And it's just fucking mayhem in there. And I'm on tilt after one hand after dinner. And yeah, so this was definitely a session that I was playing for the podcast. And because of my tight schedule, I knew going into this day, I wasn't ready to play poker, right? And I had too much going on and not enough sleep. But, you know, you got to do, when you're on the grind, you just got to do what you have to do sometimes. And that means sometimes play poker when you don't want to and when you're not fit to. And I needed a fucking Jameson and diet, and I got one. And I said, all right. I said to myself, chill out. Okay. And I reloaded. So I'm quickly in for $1,600 in this game. And I put my AirPods in and I put on spa music, right? That's what I take naps to all the time. And it's actually helping a little bit some of you can probably relate where if there's too much commotion and it's too loud, it really fucking frazzles you. That's how I felt. And so obviously at a poker table, you don't want to feel like that. And anyways, the next note is miss, and that's a horrible note, and I'm going to try not to write that one anymore. So I just missed some draw. And then the next hand has a character many of you are fond of, and it's the first person to act. So I'm in the big blind in the seventh seat with nine deuce offsuit. The eighth seat is the Vietnamese super grinder. This guy is very cool, very interesting, and he's, you know, just a fucking staple in red chip hell. And he folds, which he does a lot. And he watches shit on his phone. He's the Vietnamese super grinder. Okay, now the reason pops it to $10. Oh, so I guess the game's 3-5. And he pops it to $10. The pill popper calls. She's been there for a while. She's playing less tight now. That happens. And new pro calls my right. And he's wearing all Adidas, right? And I call $5 more with 9 deuce offsuit. Why? Because I'm good after the flop. I just am, which means I win in spots when I know I can. I don't care what my hand is. And anyways, It's $5 more. And we got how many in there? We got the Reasons 10, Pill Poppers 10, New Adidas 10, My 10. We got 40 out there before the rake. Okay. And it comes 10-8 deuce. Our flop bottom pair. And we check, and the Reason bets $10 again. So this guy is just going to be great for the game. He's just doing goofy shit. And Pill Popper folds to the $10, and the new pro in Adidas gear calls. Oh, I'm sorry. We all call the 10. I fucked up. 10-8 deuce, he bets 10 into 40, all four of us call. So now there's 80 in there. The turn is a 4, and now it's 2-tone. And the Adidas Pro checks. I check my 9 deuce offsuit. The Reason bets 10 again, so he just has one pair. And now the Pill Popper folds, and the Pro calls, and I make it 110. So I butchered this hand history, but this is really art imitating life, because when I was playing this session, I was really frazzled by all the shit that was going on around me. The tournament and how loud it was, and I was short on sleep. Well, now as I'm recording, you know, many days later, I'm short on sleep and I'm in my granny flat in North County, San Diego. And, you know, there are three people outside just doing all kinds of demo work and construction, and it's hard to block out. But I'm going to take a sip of the Zevia, and I'm going to do it. And I will run through this hand again real quick. Okay. So, in the big blind with 9 deuce offsuit, the Vietnamese super grinder folds. And the Reason pops it to 10, min raise. Something a Reason will do. The Pill Popper calls, and a new pro on my right, an all Adidas calls. Asian guy, very fit, seems cool. And I call $5 more with 9 deuce offsuit, and I just always am going to. It comes 10-8 deuce, and we check. That means the pro and the Adidas checks. I check my bottom pair, and the Reason bets $10, and Pill Popper calls, Adidas pro calls. I call, right? It's 10 into 40, and it's just now it's 10, and you know, it's I'm calling 10 to win 70, you know, rate considerations aside. And the turn is a 4, which doesn't help my hand, and it puts a flush draw out there. And what it helps is now it makes sense for me, if I'm going to raise big, because it looks like I'm scared of a flush draw. It's just, it's good in a way, as long as no one turned something with the 4. And Adidas Pro checks, I check, Reason bets 10 again, Pill Popper folds now, and the Adidas Pro calls, and now I go to 110. And the Reason folds, and so does the pro. And the Reason says, I know you had 2 pair. And I said, yeah, I did. I didn't. I had 1 pair, so it's only a half lie. Now, I have kings, black kings. And it's my button straddle, and that's not bad. And the Pill Popper opens for $30. And she's playing a little looser than in part one, because, you know, she's not winning, and she's been there for a while, and that's what happens, right? And new pro and Adidas calls, and I go to 140 on the button. I had 10 on there, and I pop it to 140, and they both call. Or I'm sorry, not those two call, but the Reason cold calls the 140, and the Pill Popper calls, and the pro and Adidas folds. Okay. And the flop comes set watch. King 8-7, 2 hearts, 1 diamond. So I'm in position, and we've got $400 and some out there, and I have top set. And yeah, it's not the driest board, but when they check to me, I'm just gonna check. I think they're gonna fold too much, right? And so I check, and the turn is a 6 of diamonds, and it's king 8-7, 2 hearts and a diamond. Turn 6 of diamonds, and the Reason checks, and now she bets $100 into, you know, 400 and something. And now the board is very wet. 2 flush draws, and it's king 8-7-6. I go to 300. I 3x, and the Reason folds, and she calls. And so I think she has one of several draws, and she has $500 left. And the pot is $1,000. And the river is a great card. Well, potentially, it's a 7 of diamonds, so it pairs the board, and it completes the backdoor flush, and she checks, and I go all in, and she snap folds. So she had a different draw, and that's fine. I won a nice pot with kings, flop top set, played it slow, yeah, And it's just, you know, it's just a, it's interesting when you flop top set, because what can you get paid by? Well, you can get paid by flush draws and straight draws, but it is a three bet pot, and yeah, I don't know. I like to gamble there and just let a card peel. I think in a tougher game, I would bet the flop because I would be more balanced. But fuck that, the Venetian. All right, and then I flop top pair, and I win $50. All right, so this part of the session started out poorly. It's getting better. I flop top pair. I win $175. And then I overbet and steal with six high, and I wrote, this feels better. I don't know. It just, in my heart, I feel better when I win a pot with six high than when I have the best hand. Who knows? And now I play a pot in position against the new pro in Adidas, and he binks his open ender on the river, and he checks it to me, and I check back. I had a good read on him, and he turned over his hand, and so he didn't make any dollars after he got there. And I didn't have anything great, but I'd be inclined to, I knew he was drawing, and there was a bunch of them out there. I'd be inclined to try and, you know, win the pot if I couldn't beat his missed draws, and I just, you know, thought my, I don't know, I just didn't give him a penny once he got there, and I need another Jameson and diet. Not right now while I'm recording, but at the table, I definitely did. Just really flustered, out of sorts is a better way to say it. And that's what happens. You're short on sleep, you go into a session, and you know, you got too much in your mind, you got personal shit going on, and then you play for 3 hours, you take a break, you come back, and you know, it's loud as shit and all that. And so I'm trying to get, you know, in the groove, and it's hard sometimes. And yeah, so another JMO diet should help, and some Post Malone. And I decide, nah, I'm going to try the Doors. I'm just looking for good music to listen to while I'm playing poker. And this is a coronavirus thing. This is a cubicle thing. I don't really listen to music when you can talk to people, right? It's a mask thing. But if no one's talking, you might as well, right? So, I don't know. The reason is showing me his cards. Like, I'll fold the flop, and then he'll bet the turn, and whoever will fold, and he'll show me. And I said, why are you showing me? And he says, I'm scared of you. And I was like, no, man, don't be. And so I think I snap called his all-in on the flop, and, you know, couldn't beat his hand, and I've taken some aggressive actions, and I don't know. So it's, I don't want him to be scared of me, and so I'm going to start talking to him, and I do. And then, yeah, I'm set him at ease. I'm just, you know, said, man, I can't see anything over here, because you can't in the seventh seat at the Venetian during Corona. It's the worst. You have to lean, and I can't hear anything. I said, I have no senses right now. Even if there was anything to be scared of, not tonight. And it's kind of true. And I have pocket threes and a multi-way bloater. And Cinny, here's a riddle for you. What's the opposite of something? Yeah, so I had pocket threes and a multi-way bloater, and I didn't flop anything. And so the Doors, they might be okay to listen to while you're playing poker, but they're obviously unlucky. So I look for a new artist, or a different artist, I should say. And I found Heartless Bastards. And this is a good band to check out if you've never heard of them. This woman is an amazing singer, and it's got the right vibe for playing poker. So now I'm listening to that. And just a note, that has nothing to do with poker. It just has something to do with, like, human interaction, humanity. Is the Vietnamese super grinder gets up and goes and gives the goat waitress, who I've talked about in this podcast plenty. It's this pretty black woman at the Venetian. She's probably in her 30s by now. And just A plus. And, you know, just A fucking plus service. And so obviously the Vietnamese super grinder recognizes that and just, you know, appreciates it as well. And he just goes over there and, like, gives her a bunch. She's like, what's this for? You didn't even order a drink. And I don't know. I just really, this is the first thing that made me happy in this session. Just seeing this kind of shit. This guy's just an interesting dude. And, you know, it's just, we're all misfits in the poker world, and including the people that work in it. I just like this shit. I don't know. Oops. I couldn't get locked, though. I like when I'm locked at the poker table. I like when I'm locked with the headphones on. And, you know, I wasn't able to get locked in the session. And hopefully I can start to get locked now because the men outside seems like they're taking a break. We'll see. And hopefully you haven't heard like all the saws and stuff that I hear. But anyways, I wasn't able to get locked in the poker session, but I just kept overbet bluffing, right? And I knew when I was doing it, I was just thinking like my line makes no sense over and over, but it just kept working. So that's good. It's going to get the money. It's going to get the job done. But if my goal is to, you know, climb the ranks again, and it is, I do have to play better. I can't just, I can't just overbet and rep nothing because that's going to be problematic in bigger games. And, you know, I'm just noting it. So I don't think I'm very results oriented in poker. I'm not playing great at all, but at least I'm doing the one exploit in live poker, the best one. Just bet a lot. People don't want to lose the chips in front of them, right? It's not like online where they just dust it off easily. So I don't know. It's a weird session. And I get pocket aces. Okay. And I open to $30 under the gun because it's 3-5-10. And the reason calls with $268 behind. And I don't know why I knew that exact number, but I did. And the flop came 9-6 deuce rainbow. And I checked here. I want this guy to bet. I want him to maybe bluff. I don't know much about him. Just a young guy with plenty of money. And he has bluffed and he checks. Okay, that's not great. The turn is a 10 and I bet 50 and he calls and he has $218 behind and the pot is, you know, a little less than that. And the river's a 10 and, it's 9-6 deuce and check, turn 10, I bet, river 9, I go all in. I like this because most people won't be going all in here with an overpair when the top card on the flop pairs, but I knew he didn't have it, so it's just a free roll for me to look like I'm bluffing when I'm not. Anyways, he thought for a bit and folded what was probably a deuce. And then I got pocket aces again, and this is weird. So you go into play, and you're not prepared to play, and you go to the easiest place you can play it because you're a little bit smarter than you used to be, and you're getting all these hands. And now on the small blind, it's 3-5-10, and I go to 60, and you know who calls? The reason, and that's it. He has $120 behind, and that's what's in the pot, and the flop comes 9-6 deuce, and it's the same fucking flop as last time, and I check, and he checks again. Motherfucker, will you please just shove in your money? And the turn is a 7, and this time I want to sell, just over cards, and I check, and he checks again, and the river's an 8 for 9-6 deuce, 7-8. I have aces. I check, and he checks, and I win with aces. So, I don't know. I maybe misread this guy as someone. I should have known when he said he was scared of me that he wouldn't be bluffing me. I should have factored that in, but I wasn't playing my best. So, I should have just been in this pot especially, when there's only a pot-sized bet behind, I should just always bet the flop small and just start getting the rest of the money in, right? But, you know, it'd be nice if he ever had anything when I had aces, but, you know, I'm the guy getting aces every hand and complaining. Okay. And so now I get another really good hand. It's ace king, big slick, as they say. And it's 3-5-10. And the Adidas new pro opens to 20 on my right. And I go to 70. And the small blind, who was a victim when I kept overbet bluffing and not repping anything but winning, he cold calls the 70, right? And so does the kid. And the small blind has $220 behind. So he also has pot behind, right? And the kid is pretty deep. And I have ace king in position. And the flop comes ace queen six with two clubs. And now the guy who cold called three bets leads 100. Okay, and this is just some really nice dude, actually, at the other end of the table. And you know, the Adidas Pro folds. And I just call, you know, I've ace king and there's 210 out there. And this guy bet 100 with 120 behind. I just call, whatever. You can go all in or call, same difference. And I call, and the turn's an X, and he goes all in for his 120. I call, and the river's a brick, and he had ace, nine of spades. So he cold called 70 with ace, nine of spades with 220 behind, and I had ace, king, and it came ace, queen, nine, two-tone, whatever. It's an automatic double up, and it doesn't really tilt me that much because it's just automatic, right? And this guy is just a really nice guy. But what does tilt me is the fucking DJ at the Venetian. The DJ at the Venetian is a gaslighter, a troll. The songs are so bad and so loud. They're playing Sugar Ray, right? And I'm a songwriter and not the best, not the worst. But this song, I Just Want to Fly, or I think that's what it's called, by Sugar Ray, is one of the worst songs I've ever heard in my life. And it's so loud and it's really grating on me. It's true story. Gambling Engineer, do you agree with me that Sugar Ray is whack? Gambling Engineer hates Kings of Leon. I'm not sure if I hate Kings of Leon, but this song by Sugar Ray is rough. I don't know. Okay. And that's a patron and a poker player and an engineer and a gambling man. Okay. I open ace queen to 30. And the reason calls, okay. And now there's a new pro in the game who actually I can tell plays pretty well. And he goes to 155 in the small blind. And I have ace queen. I'm definitely not going to fold here. I don't really believe him, but stacks are whack to a four bet. So I just call and the reason calls and he's all in, right? So we're three ways and there's about a little less than 500 in the middle. And the reason's all in pre-flop, right? And I have ace queen. And the flop comes king 10 X with two diamonds. And the new pro bets 140, which is interesting. And I call. There's, you know, it's a dry side pot. And I call. And turns a queen. He checks. So king 10 X, two diamonds and a heart. Turns a queen of whatever. He checks. I check. I just made a pair. And the river's a 10. And he checks. And I check. And the new pro had queen jack of diamonds, so he flopped fucking the world. Open-ended plus flush draw and, so the turn was a queen of hearts and the river was a 10 of hearts. And the reason made backdoor nut flush draw with ace 3 of hearts. So he got the pot and I got the side pot, which was, you know, I lost a little on the hand. And I had ace queen against queen jack and ace 3. And it's okay, ace 3 won. And now, I have queen jack and, there's some weak limpers and I make it 50 and the reason calls. He calls every hand. He's the reason that this game's so good. You know, it's not the reason the game's going. 3-5 is just going to go or whatever the small blind they want to put, but you know what I mean? Red chip poker's just going to go, right? So when you call someone the reason, that's usually for bigger games that, oh, why is there a fucking 5,100 game on a Monday night at the Flamingo? Well, there's a reason, right? But, you know, this guy plays like the reason. And anyways, he calls. He always calls. I have queen jack, comes ace, king, X, and I bet small, and he calls. And the turn's an ace, and he checks, and I check back. And the river is an X, and he leads $50. So, you know, he leads like a quarter pot or whatever. And I call. With queen high, because I don't think he's, you know, value betting thin at all. And he had ace 8 offsuit, so he made trips. It's fine. It's a fine payoff against this guy. And again, I'm in the 7 and he's in the 1, and there's just no way of like getting good reads on him, right? Like you just can't see through all the fucking plexiglass that's bent in all these different directions. And I lose another bloater where I fold top pair on the flop. So I just thought the pill popper had an overpair and it showed down against whoever else. She did. So even though I can't, you know, I can't play my A game on this night, I still know what people have. And I guess, you know, when a person who doesn't show much aggression shows aggression, putting on an overpair is not, you shouldn't be, writing home about it, even if you're right. So, all right, I open ace queen to 35 now because it's the reasons button straddle and he calls and it comes 9-7-3. And I check, and he bets 50, and I fold ace-queen. So just check fold ace-queen. I realize he's not bluffing me now, right? And he shows me ace-9 offsuit. So had him dominated again, and he outflopped me again. And then he flopped a boat against the Vietnamese super grinder who finally played a hand, and he doubled through him. And so that's, you know, it's good and bad. You never want to see the Vietnamese super grinder lose. You do want to see the reason have chips. And I look over at the other 3-5 game, or it might be 2-5. No, I guess it's probably 3-5. And there's this woman I've played with who plays just a very solid style, and she has over $4,000. And even though, you know, I've been making hands at this table, I really want a session like that. If she's up 4K, I'd be up like 7 probably, because, you know, I'm a lag and she's just a solid player. And just like when she's losing, you know, 1500, I'm down 3K, that kind of thing. I just want a session like that. And I believe the only one I've had since I started sessions, this podcast, the only one time I ran like really well was I was on like stake for half the action, or maybe even less. I don't even remember. I don't know. But you know, you just want that, and that's bad thinking. It's entitlement and all that, but it's also what I was thinking. And then it's time for my worst play. Let me take a sip of Zevia. So, pocket eights, four ways for $30, 120 out there. Flop comes 8-5-4 with two spades. And man, I flop sets now, and this is nice. It feels good, right? But I got to get used to like how to play when you flop a set, because I went like a couple years without flopping any, right? And anyways, I mean, you know, that's an exaggeration, but you get the point. And 8-5-4 with two spades, and it's four ways, and we check to the Adidas pro who's in position. And he bets, right? He's on the button. And I call. He bets 50 into 120. And I call with top set. Pocket eights on 8-5-4, two spades, single raise pot. The turn is an eight. Okay. Now I guess I make quads too. And I check. And he bets 100. And my worst play here is not raising, but it's how big I raised. I raised a 330. I have been aggro since I got back from dinner. I'm drinking. I am, you know, just overbetting constantly. So I'm trying to use my image here, but really I should just go smaller. It's just better in this situation. The last thing you want to do is let this guy fold something. And I went to 330 after his 100 with quads. I mean, you have to get the money in, and you know, it's harder out of position, but, yeah, he folded. I don't know. It's. I thought maybe because he was a new pro, I was just hoping that I'd coolered him, right? That if he flopped a straight or had a smaller set that made a boat, then yeah, he would he would continue and I would probably get all his chips. But if he has like a flush draw, or like a pair, like a hand like 5-6, that he shouldn't be betting on the turn. I just blew him out of the water, and I don't know. I honestly have to get used to making hands again, because I went so long without making them, and now I'm making them again, and that's good, but you gotta, I'm very used to playing with air. I gotta get better at playing with good hands. I flopped top set. I just flatted from the, you know, in a four-way pot, you know, and then I turned quads, and I check-raised, which is fine, but I just went too big, and that's what made it my worst play. And partly I don't think, why do I need to bluff? Why do I need to check raise? It's not a bluff when you have four of a kind, but why do I need to check raise a turn? Is because these players just aren't barreling off like they are in bigger games. If someone's going to barrel off, you can just call, right? And then you can pop them on the river, that old thing. But no, when they're never going to barrel off, you got to try and get the money in. And so the raise was correct, but it was just too big. And now it's time for my best play, and it's another luck box hand. And let me take a sip of the Zevia. And I do apologize if you guys can hear all the fucking shit going on right outside this granny flat, like hammering and all that. And I apologize that it's distracting me. But the good news is I put out so much content. You know, next week I'll be recording, hopefully more rested and certainly in a quieter place. Let me take a sip of this, tell you about my best play. Another fucking luck box hand. So the new pro that I could tell is a good player, but he hasn't been running good in this session. And so he's playing a little worse, and that's how it goes. You see new pros and they run hot and they look like they're really good players, right? Well, they don't run hot, they run poorly, and suddenly they become kind of spots. It's just how it goes. And he opens at 25 and it's 3, 5, 10. And I pocket fours and I'm in there, even though I just made quads, so I know I'm not going to flop a set, right? You know, there's five of us in there. And I got pocket fours, 125 in the middle. It comes 8-7 deuce with two hearts. And I'm in position, and they check, and I just check. And the turn's an offsuit four. Oh, my God, I turned a set. And now this old man leads 75 into 125 on 8-7 deuce, two hearts, and a four. And now the kid raises to 355. And this is wild. So, you know, you want, what, how does your set doing against this old man who is never bluffing and isn't light, leading 75 into 125 on 8-7 deuce, two tone? Everyone checked, but they could have been checking to me, right? Because I'm the aggro one, but I decided to not, you know, bet with pocket fours and 8-7 deuce. Turn a four, and I just decide that this old man, so he either has two pair, like 8-7, which he just doesn't have because he's playing very tight. He could have a better set than me. He could have a smaller set than me. He could have deuces, could have sevens, eights. But it just seems like with his force on this bet, it seems like an overpair. Like he slow played an overpair, and he was hoping to check raise the flop or whatever. And now the kid going to 355 is often an overpair. And it could also be a set, right? Which would be eights or sevens. That's what he would check on the flop. And so I call. I call the 355 with pocket fours. And the old man goes all in for just a little bit more, like $25 or something. And the kid calls and I call. We don't have any option. And the river is an offsuit ace. And the old man's all in. And the new pro checks, and even though I have a set and it's been checked to me on the river, I check. Why? Because it's easy to mix up, you know, absolute strength and relative strength, right? And you're going to feel like a chump for checking back a set if it's good. But in this spot, with the hand reading, you're either good and not getting paid, or this guy has a bigger set than you, the new pro, right? He either had one on the turn, or he rivered, you know, set of aces and would be checking here for sure because my hand looks so strong. It looks kind of like a straight. And I say I have a set, and they both say you're good. So it's not the most amazing play to just call an obvious call pre-flop and check back a pretty obvious check on the flop, and then you turn a set, and then someone leads strong, and then someone raises strong. And, you know, there's a straight out there, but and there's, you know, two higher sets, but you read that you're probably good, and, you know, that's not, you don't get kudos for calling with a set. But the thing is, I never even thought about betting the river, and I never should. And people were, the reason was surprised. I'm surprised you didn't bet. I said, I know, I'm scared, and I'm not. I just read the hand correctly, and sometimes you gotta know you're gonna look like a chump checking back a set, but really it was just the right play. Right against the kid's range, he either has pocket eights and or sevens that he's getting tricky with, or he's scared that I have a straight, you know, and or he has pocket aces and he's not folding any of those that are calling. Right, I mean, he's not folding any of those hands. He's calling all of them, and the rest of his overpairs he's folding. Right, and so I just checked, and it's not the best play, but it was the best play on this night where I can't get focused. Kind of like right now with fucking this guy's sawing outside. And but also I'm running hot, right? Just quads and turn a set. And yeah, I whiff a flush draw in position versus the reason. So what? But you know what is tilting? Now they're playing Paula Abdul. No offense to Paula Abdul, but straight up now telling me, you know, like that song, come on. Like no one needs to hear that shit on 10. And that's what we're hearing. And the next note's kind of weird. I make a good fold with Jack 4 on 10, 10, 8, 2. And what the fuck does that mean? Oh, it means I was the button straddle with Jack 4 and they all limped. And I bet the flop on 10, 10, 8 and the really nice guy called and the turn was a deuce and then he bet into me. So he did a little stop and go. He called the flop and led into me. And if you recall, recently I misread this as weakness and I then, you know, I even potted. I said, this is usually weak, this stop and go line. And it's not. I was wrong about that. When I recorded it and then later listened to it, I said, no, I don't think it is actually weak when someone calls and then leads. And so I learned from it. And, you know, it's not like I had anything, but I would definitely bluff if I thought it was weak. And I folded, and the guy showed me a 10. Super nice guy. Yeah. So I straddle under the gun. And now things are going my way. And, I've kind of undersold this session. I said I was playing, you know, poorly. Oh my God. So, I said I was playing poorly, and I was, relatively speaking. Like, you know, I've been playing poker forever, professional. I should be playing well. But the players at the table, probably because I was running hot, thought I was, like, really good. And when you have that image, and you're the straddle under the gun, and the nice guy completes from the small blind, if you've bluffed him a million times and never paid him off, or, you know, and then the new pro just throws out $5 from the big blind, you just steal it. You gotta be relentless, you know? And you gotta have no shame. Like, I've been running hot, but I have 7-5 offsuit. I'm still gonna make it 60 and take the 20 bucks. What other podcast do you get jackhammering? I don't know. So, hopefully my sound guy will. Sound guy, are you gonna take all this noise out? Thank you. Okay. Oh boy. Let's finish this. Let's forget about this week soon. Okay, so I open 7-6 offsuit to $30, and the guy that's really nice defends. Then the flop comes 5-5-5, and he leads 55 on 5-5-5, and I know he has a pocket pair, and I have different options. I can, if someone's deep, I can call here and rep the big pair that way, but he's not deep enough for me to do that. So I need to raise right now and just put him to the test, right? If he has 500 bucks or whatever, I just make it 200. And he knows he's going to be playing for all of it. And he thinks for a while and folds. And the bad part is he asked me to show. And this guy's super nice. And he showed me trips when he had it. And three fives out there. And he led and I raised with 7-6. He folded pocket sixes face up. And he asked me, will you show? I said, okay. And I turned over 7-6 offsuit. So, wasn't playing great. Started running great. And just started running over the game. Which, you know, it's not... When you have a winning image, poker is very easy. And, yeah. So, then I have a top pair. And I win against him. I just c-bet. I have ace-king and it comes king high. And he folds. And now I get to show him a good hand. Which I wanted to. And now it's shorthanded, and so the notes aren't great, and man, I really apologize for this fucking jackhammering, but what am I going to do? I got deadlines, and this is where I pod, and I got my kids tonight. I can't pod when they're here, so, oh well. It tells the story, doesn't it? Hopefully next year, if there's a season 5 of Sessions, I'll have a nice place where I can soundproof a room and just give you guys real fire, but whatever, this will work. Anyways, shorthanded, and now I'm kind of running over the game. Not really running great shorthanded, but I don't need to. And this floor guy I go way back with, Terry, is very funny. He's tilting because the pill popper keeps changing seats in the shorthanded game, and he has to sanitize every time. And he finally says, okay, you're not allowed to move anymore, which is pretty funny. And I tipped him $5. I said, thank you for saving her life one last time, though. And I don't know, just, you know, keep the reason happy, keep things going. I see change out of the seven because I couldn't see anything in there or hear anything. And the reason couldn't believe it. He was shocked that I could leave a seat that was doing so well. But yeah, I don't know. Pocket fours and $200 in the middle. And, you know, I've been running pretty hot and I've been making lots of sets. And on this one, I flopped. And thank God, really, I would have felt, you know, I just would have felt gross, you know, making all these hands and then getting all these bluffs through. And then if I flop a set at the end of the session and just get all the money, I don't, it would have been good for me, but it would have been bad for them. And it's okay. It was time to go. I played 6 hours total and I won a life and a half. And that includes the 3 hours before dinner. So 3 hours before dinner and 3 hours after. And that's good. Fourth win in a row after two L's in a row. And yeah, that's nice. So let's go cash out and then let's head to the sports book real quick and check those STP scores. Okay, here we are at the cage. Give me a second. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, here's a tip. Thank you very much. Okay, now follow me through this tournament area, which used to be a high stakes area back in the day, back in 2008, when I made a name for myself in Vegas. Anyways, let's walk through here. Okay. And here we are at the Venetian Sportsbook. Now look up there next to NBA. You see where it says STP? That's for Save the Princess. That's pretty cool, right? Okay. See the first line under STP? It says hours. 213 of 200. Oh, that makes sense because we had 201 hours after week 19, and I played 12 more in this week 20. Six in the session you just heard about, and six in the first session I played. A swingy as fuck 2-5-10 session at Ocean's 11 Casino, not too far from where I stay in San Diego. If you want to hear about that session, by getting your own RSS feed to every drop of sessions ever, and or you want membership to DGAF community, all you have to do is go to patreon.com/DGAFPokerPlayer and sign up to help keep this content flowing and ad-free for $4.22 a month or more. It's very easy, all of it. Signing up on Patreon, getting that RSS feed hooked up, and then joining the community if that's what you decide to do. And there's zero pressure on that. Okay. You see the second line under STP up there? It says Poker Rags. 508 of 368. That's pretty crazy. So this is the line that's well ahead of pace. And, you know, going into this year, I knew I had to, I knew I had to win sessions or I'd have to quit sessions, if that makes sense. And I knew I had to get patrons, right? And I knew I had to put in hours. And then I knew, you know, the one thing I do push in my content, my startup, would have to take off, right? And collectively, I would have to, you know, achieve a goal, right? Well, this is the line that's taken off the most. And so who knows? Maybe it'll be my startup that gets me flush again. You just never know. Let's hear who scored points for us in week 20, who the MVP was, and who got Employee of the Month. Of the week. Fuck. Employee of the week. Okay. So, you can see up there, but I'm just going to read it anyways because it's pretty small font. And, yeah. Pupil in Philadelphia bought three stickers. And that's a pupil is a patron. Bought three stickers, but that doesn't score you any points. It's just cool. Okay. Jeff in Nashville, Tennessee got a point. Thank you, Jeff. Peter in Fullerton, California, a point. Thank you, Peter. Franz in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania put up a point. Thank you. Cold Blood. See that? All caps. Cold Blood in Queens, New York, a point. Drayden in Lexington, Kentucky, a point. Totour in Faroe Islands. I don't know where that is, but they got a point from wherever that is, and it sounds pretty great. And then Kristen in Doylestown, Pennsylvania, got a point. Marcelo in Wapato, Washington, put up a point. And that means Marcelo got an item from Poker Rags and, you know, treated himself to something comfortable and cool. And also, did his part to help keep this shit going. Okay, now Kochigan in Long Beach, California, got us a point. And then Matthew in Riverside, California, got us 2 points. And then Minxie in Stanford, California, pretty smart place to live. I'm pretty sure you have to be smart to live there. Got us 2 points. And if you can see, it says straddle question and answer. So that's pretty cool when you get the matching straddle with the question mark and the straddle with the period. It's fun to wear with a buddy, with a loved one, whatever. It's just good. Or if you're just going to alternate wearing them yourself. So thank you, Minxie in Stanford, California. And Marco in Boblogen, I fucked that up almost certainly. Boblogen, Germany, got us 2 points. And it says, asterisk says Cinny. So got a nothing shirt. And that makes my friend here, Cinny, very happy. Or less sad, at least. Okay. Tracy in Brockton, New York, got us 3 points. Thank you very much, Tracy. And then Rachel in Haddon Heights, New Jersey, got us 3 points as well. And thank you all. And now let's hear, you know, who the MVP was for week 20. Your MVP for week 20 of season 4 of Sessions, from La Jolla, California, a patron who goes by the screen name Smells. And Smells put up 21 points. Oh my God, I don't know if that's a record. I know Nick put up something close to that, but that is unbelievable. And that made up half of the points for the week. And so that means the total points for the week were 42, and that's a big number for us. And on behalf of everyone that works at Poker Rags, I want to thank all of you who ordered, and especially Smells for that humongous order, which came in right at the buzzer at the end of the week. And just unbelievable. Okay. And if you look under that, you can see Employee of the Week, Melanie. And Melanie is our new designer. So we have two of them now. And this is the very artistic one, the one who did the STP design for this year. It's beautiful, right? And it says Leap of Faith. And, okay, so she basically just took a leap of faith joining us. Everyone else that's an owner, you know, is from the DGAF community and knows each other well. And she's not, and not really in poker, but I don't know. I was able to sell her, and she finally just agreed to make that leap of faith. And apparently the Nevada Gaming Commission thinks that's a pretty big deal. And so do I. It's pretty awesome. So, again, thank you to everyone who put points on the board. Towards the fifth season of Sessions next year, you all are literally part of the story. And if you listening would also like to become part of the story by putting points on the board to hopefully keep this thing going, and or you just want the most comfortable clothing on the planet, head over to pokerags.us and just go crazy like Smells did. And remember, anything from Sessions, including the Cinny design, that's the one that says nothing with my friend Cinny's face on it, puts 2 points on the board instead of one. Okay, look up there. The third score under STP says results, 48 of 41. Wouldn't you know, we were way behind pace a few months ago on this one, right? I wasn't booking wins. Well, now we're ahead of pace significantly. And after 40 sessions, so there, you know, every week is week blank of 50, right? So there's going to be 50 weeks, which means 100 sessions. And after the first 40 sessions, we now have 28 wins and 12 losses. And that's not bad. And you guys should have just told me a long time ago that you wanted me to win, because now I'm not going to lose anymore. It's going to be hard for me to book an L, because I don't want to lose. I don't want to lose patrons. So look up there under STP, the four score, it says patrons 184 of 200. So this is the only line that we're not on pace, and this is my salary, and that's not great. I mean, the patrons that that are active are beyond great. They're insane, but they have to do way too much heavy lifting. Their pledges are so enormous on average. I really want to get more people supporting and getting all the content and access to the community so that these people don't have to, you know, do such heavy lifting. But this is the one area where, you know, we're not on pace, and let's see what happened. So in week 20, NTD gave me a raise to 844. So that's cool. And that gets NTD on Slack, and NTD's already made a splash on Slack. And then Nick, N-I-K, it's going to be close. Someone's going to have to look it up to see who got more points, Nick or Smells. But both big-time MVPs, kind of like a LeBron-Jordan debate. Nick is a, you know, longtime Patron. He was already at 27 a month, which is one of the tiers, and he gave me a $3 raise, and that stuff means a lot to me. It does. When someone just goes out of their way, it means they probably heard something that day that fucking struck a nerve in a good way, and or struck a chord is a better way to say that. And thank you, Nick. And then Jeff was at 422. That's the ask, and went to 844. And Jeff also is becoming more active on Slack. And it's just social media where people, you know, aren't going to be toxic. They're not allowed to be toxic, right? And it's cool. I always appreciate raises, and I love to see people get more active. And then a Mad Town guy came in at $5.22. So a dollar over the ask, and that's 4 points. And I appreciate that, Mad Town guy. Thank you very much. And then we lost someone who was at 422. So that's minus four, but they left the survey. You can leave an exit survey. And they just said, no, I'm getting out of gambling, and I wish you all the best. And so that's cool. And then we lost someone who was at $51 a month. So, and this person also left a survey and kind of said, you know, similar things, that life got complicated or whatever. It really means a lot to me when people leave a survey on the way out, because I'm a sensitive boy inside this, you know, man's body. And I just don't know. When people quit, I don't know if the content's suffering or you know, whatever it is. And when they leave a survey and say, no, it's not that, it makes me feel better. And then Matt signed up. So we got 4 points for Matt. So 4 points for Mad Town guy, lost four for the person who quit, and then lost four for the baller who quit, the $51 a month. And that's fine. It's so appreciated while people are here. And yeah, I don't know. And then got 4 points for Matt. So 0 points total this week on this line. That's just what it is. Okay. And now for the score, the fifth and final line up there under STP. And it's just you add the scores, the four scores above it, right? And it's called Countdown to 2022. Because if this number reaches 2,022 points total by December 19th of this year, Sessions lives on in the year 2022. Okay, and you can see this one says 953 of 809. So we are on pace. We're ahead of pace to keep this podcast alive for a fifth and almost certainly final year. And we're 40% of the way through our journey this year. And that's good. I just need to focus on getting more patrons. I need to get more exposure, maybe do some more work in the community. And then, of course, I need to get better and better at my craft. And that means, I don't know what that means when it's too loud to record and put out good sound quality and you know, all that. I don't know what I can do because I got I don't know. But anyways, before we say goodbye, I want to give a special thanks to everyone who's put points on this board this year. It is make or break, right? If we don't hit 2022, it's over. And anyways, I want to give an extra special thanks to all the patrons for their continued support. You all are something. And I will see all of you on Monday and Tuesday for your patron-only drops. And I'll see everyone else next Thursday for the week 21 session plus scoreboard check. And whether you are a patron or not, whether you listen to sessions Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, or just Thursday and Friday, I highly recommend you fill your Wednesday podcast slot with my favorite podcast, Call Her Daddy. No. I mean, you can listen to that if you want to. And if you're feeling a little thirsty, it's definitely good. But also, if you're feeling a little thirsty, check out my two favorite freaks on the East Coast, Jody and Trevor Savage, who co-host my actual favorite podcast, Raising the Nuts. And yeah, I want to say sorry for all the noise in the last two drops of sessions. It both tells the story of my life perfectly, right? A man who needs his own residence soon, you know, and it also makes the story probably a good amount less enjoyable to listen to, right? I don't know. I mean, I'm as dedicated to this podcast as one can be, but lately I just haven't had a quiet place to spew, and I've got deadlines. So, I don't know. I guess I probably should redo these last two drops in the middle of the night when it's actually quiet at my granny flat. But you know what?
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
I hope you enjoyed this drop of sessions. If you are a patron, thank you. And if you're not a patron, well, I don't know what to tell you. Huh? Princess, I'm doing the outro. That's a lot of stuff. Princess, I know. We're trying. Larger than life. I guess I'm going to need some help then. Princess, I hope the listeners go to patreon.com/DGAF poker player. Because otherwise...